If you have your scriptures, we're in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. 6 months ago, I joined a team. I didn't realize I joined the team until I realized it, but I joined a team, and it's Team No Sleep is the name of that team. And the captain of the team is that young lady right there, Annie Bales. She is the team captain of Team No Sleep. She doesn't care that I'm almost 40 years old and I have this pattern of a decade of sleeping and resting and doing my own thing and letting the kids get up and make their own breakfast and watch cartoons and do whatever so I can sleep in. And to be quite honest with you, over the last 6 months, I have been physically exhausted. New parents, can you respond to that? Yes, physically exhausted. And some of you who are parents know this feeling, right, of just physical exhaustion. And the challenge has been is how, as a follower of Jesus, how am I physically exhausted yet still have a soul that is full? Still have a soul. My soul is still full and it's at peace and at rest. And oftentimes in the middle of this like 6 month period of just being restless, I feel like I'm the only one. You ever get that way when you're feeling tired? You're like, everybody else looks like they have it together and they're not tired, they're not restless. But the truth is, most of us in the United States especially walk around exhausted, just completely exhausted. In 2021, the U.S. Department of Labor said this, 47 million people voluntarily quit their jobs, which historians are calling the Great Resignation. 47 million people. Do you remember this? Do you remember the signs and all the restaurants and everything? They were trying to hire people. Do you remember all that? 47 million people said, I am done. Now, what a lot of historians are saying is because people were ready for a change and all those kind of things, but we know a lot of those people didn't go back to work or they completely slowed down and it took a whole year for them to get back into work. And I'm wondering, as I read that stat, if there's something deeper going on here. That it's not that we're just tired physically from our jobs, that there's something deeper going on, that our souls are exhausted. That we may be tired on the outside, but on the inside we are absolutely restless. And this restlessness in our soul, it cannot be satisfied by a good nap. Now, I love a good nap. I love them more than I ever have in my life. But let me say this, a soul restlessness cannot be satisfied by a good nap. It can't be satisfied by a good mattress. And let me tell you how many commercials, how many are there? 365-day guarantee to get a mattress. And then if you don't like it, guess what? Donate it to the thrift store. We'll sell it because they won't take it back. Kind of thing. That it's not satisfied by a good mattress. And you know this, when you go on vacation, you're like, yes, this is the one. I'm going to take 2 week vacation. And when I come back, I'm going to be so rested on the outside and the inside. And then Monday hits. And guess what? You open your email box and what happens? You are drained, exhausted already. And you've gotten to hour one. All right. So we know vacation, it doesn't satisfy it. A COVID full stop, you know, where everything stopped, it didn't satisfy. What about a snow day? When I think about rest, I think about a snow day. How many of y'all love a snow day? I love a snow day. You know why? Because I go out and it's like an inch, and around our city, if an inch hits, that means everybody's buying milk and bread and they're like wiping everything out and they're like, we've got to stay inside. And you go outside with your coffee and your robe and you're like, yeah, it's everything's slowed down, everything's quiet until the salt trucks come and the sun comes out and you're like, crap, I got to go back to work, you know? I go do something, you know? A snow day cannot satisfy it. Desire of true rest in our heart, because we all desire soul rest in here. Our hearts, every human being desires soul rest, and true rest that you're looking for cannot be found apart from Jesus. The rest that we need can only come from what Isaiah called the Prince of Peace. He is the only one that can give us this type of rest, a rest that is eternal and a rest that lasts. And if we're going to have a spiritual breakthrough in our lives, then we must have a rhythm of rest with Jesus. If we're going to have spiritual breakthrough in our life, we want Jesus to move in our life, we actually have to buy into the idea that in Jesus there is rest. In Him we can find it, and in Him alone, and we don't have to look for it anywhere else. Now, you may have come in this room, like me, in a season of great exhaustion. You may be here and you may be saying, I'm not only physically tired, but my soul is heavy. which have led you to like a series of a great resignation. I want to just quit. I want to quit life. I want to quit working. It has led to a place of just giving up. I want you to know this morning, if you're sitting here, Jesus, what they call, he gives you what they call the great invitation. A great invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. You've probably heard this scripture before, but I want to read it to you to remind you exactly what Jesus said. This is the great invitation to rest for all of you. Every one of you in this room and on the live feed, this is a great invitation. Listen to what it says. This is Jesus speaking to a crowd. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Y'all heard that? You heard that before? You heard this scripture before? That Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When Jesus says this, Jesus' ministry is exploding. He is healing people. He is preaching the gospel. He's teaching the kingdom of God. He's seeing the Father work through him, and the blind being made to see, and the lame that are walking, and crowds are beginning to form and follow Jesus. Now, during that time, there's these religious leaders that said, in order for you to find righteousness, it's not really Jesus. It's actually following all this set of rules and laws. And religious leaders put a lot of oppression on especially those who were poor, impoverished. They were needy in any way, emotionally, physically, financially. They put a lot of pressure on them, establishing more laws for them to find righteousness. And so the crowds that were following Jesus, they felt this pressure physically and emotionally and spiritually. And then there was the Roman Empire. They just continue to oppress people. They continue to tax them. Taxes got greater. Inflation got greater. Anybody can respond to that? Inflation got greater. Groceries got more expensive. More oppression of the poor. More regulations. And Jesus pauses for a second, and he identifies a reality that is plaguing them all in the crowd. He looks into the crowd, he pauses, and he looks into them, and in the crowd there were the sick and the blind and the deaf and the emotionally wounded, but Jesus points out one thing that affected every single one of them. They were exhausted. They were tired. Do you feel that this morning? Jesus, the same Jesus that looked into the crowd, looks into us. He looks into our exhausted hearts, and he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Come and seek me. Come and sit in my presence, and you will find rest for your souls. And it's not a rest that is short term, but a rest that is eternal. You see, Jesus understood what it meant to rest. You know why? Because he was a pretty busy person. Can you imagine being Jesus for a second? He walked through the crowds, and people would touch him. They wanted his time. Do you think Jesus got tired? Oh, yeah. But Jesus, he shows us, we'll talk about that in a minute, a pattern of how to actually rest in his presence. And the rest that Jesus offers is not inactivity. It's not just throwing your hands up and go hiding away. The rest that Jesus offers is a rest that is eternal, and the rest that we find in the middle of our work and our play and our grind of life. This is the rest. So when you're grinding in life, when you're working, when you're at play, when you're just tired physically, he says you can find rest in the middle of every circumstance. So this morning, a definition that we're going to use for rest, which I really like, that I found, is this. Rest is a life with God that enables us to be at peace in all of life's circumstances. Rest is a life with God that enables us to be at peace in all of life circumstances. And so the question is how is this possible? How is this actually played out in the scriptures? How is this actually played out in our life? And I want to look at both of those this morning. I want to look scripturally at it, but I also want to give you some practical things to do to find rest in the presence of Jesus. Jesus says there's three steps to finding rest for your souls in the scripture, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, number one, come to me. If you want to find rest, you have to come to Jesus. Secondly, he says, take my yoke, which we'll talk about in a minute. And lastly, to learn from me. Come, to take, and to learn. There's nothing like a personal invitation, isn't there? When you have a birthday party or some, and you get invited personally, we want your presence here. And Jesus invites all of us to his table. He says, come to me. And he makes a personal invitation to all of us, to the crowd, by saying, if you're heavy laden and you want rest, you can find it in me. And this invitation is not just an invitation to go and to sit in his presence, but to actually trust him with your life, to trust him with your schedule, to trust him with your quiet time, to trust him with your safety, to trust him with your sin. And so Jesus directs the crowd where to go for our source of rest. I know for me in this season, when I have been exhausted, the first place that I have gone is social media. I'll just be full disclosure. I get tired, and instead of like stopping, pausing, coming to Jesus and sitting at his feet and closing my eyes about 9:30, because I'll probably fall asleep, to be quite honest, I get on my old Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and I'm just mindlessly scrolling. And all of a sudden, I realize it's been 45 minutes of scrolling, and I'm just as tired as the moment before I started scrolling. That if we aren't careful, we will come to other things other than Jesus for our rest. And social media is an easy target, but there's all kinds of different places we can escape to think that we will find rest. And you know, I think when I think about coming to Jesus, I don't think it's so much to actually going to him, like, Jesus, I need you. It's that we know that if we go to Jesus, he's such a good friend and such a good father that he is going to point out exactly what's making us restless. And that's painful. That is painful. For the Lord, when we go to him, we come to him, he is so good. In his love, he says, I want you to rest, but he loves us way too much to leave us where we are. He just loves us way too much. He doesn't want us to be restless. So when we are tired in our souls and we go to him, he is not going to leave us where we are. He's going to point out the reasons maybe we're not coming to Jesus, maybe that we are restless. In 2017, January 2017, Todd and I sat in his office in January, and we made a decision that I would succeed him as lead pastor of this church. We started making plans for that to happen. We worked through it. It wasn't like Todd was going anywhere, but I would just take on the lead role. And so we talked through it, and it was we made a schedule for it and all that, and then October hit, and some of you all know this, but I got a phone call from one of my really good friends in Baton Rouge asking me to come on staff. And so long story short, I take the job. And I remember sitting with the elders down in Baton Rouge, and they were asking me about my soul, sitting around the table. They're like, how is it on the inside? And I began to weep. And I'm like, well, Lord, they won't hire me now. You know, I'm just like crying at the table. And all I could utter is, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. And for the next 2 years, Jesus would begin to show me why exactly I was exhausted. And the one thing that he kept telling me is, you're trying to do it with your own strength. You're trying to make everything about you. You're trying to believe that the stage is more than important than relationship with people. And you bought into that lie. And if you do that, then you will be exhausted. You will not find rest for your souls. And I want to tell you, it was a painful process, but a needed process in my life to humble me to a place of knowing that in every situation, especially when it comes to rest, I need Jesus. I need him. I need to seek him. And so in 2020, I came back a different man than I was in 2017. And while I wish I could say I'm totally happy with the fact I stepped away for a period of time, it was one of the most painful, tough times in my life. It was hard, but it was needed for me to show me why I was restless. And some of you in this room are restless in your soul because you're going to other things other than Jesus. Because you're believing and buying into lies that the world can somehow offer you rest, or you can offer yourself rest that you just cannot have without Jesus. Jesus looked into the crowd, and he looks here to us today. He sees your burdens, and he invites you. He invites you to come and rest in his presence. He says to come to me, but then he also says something interesting. He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. That's interesting, isn't it? Y'all know what a yoke is? You ever seen one? Put it up on the screen here. This is an ox yoke or a horse yoke or whatever animals you're trying to train to pull something. This is a wooden frame joining two animals together, and they're joined together for a common task. Both have to work together in order to go the right direction at the right speed, in the same direction, the same speed, in order for things to work. And Jesus says, take my yoke, meaning come and get involved in my work. Watch what I do and follow me. Now, when you look at a yoke, the first time I looked at it, it feels like a piece or an item of enslavement. You know, that it's wrapped around you. It feels like it's heavy. It feels like it's something that wouldn't be too much fun. But when we are equally yoked with Christ, and this is what Jesus is saying, is that he's on one side of this and you are on the other. That you are equally yoked together. And as you walk through life's journey, you're not alone. That anything that as you walk on the journey with Jesus in the yoke, anything that's thrown at you, this is what he says, look to me and watch how I handle this. Look to me and seek how I would take care of this circumstance. Look for me for love and joy and peace because I am yoked with you. I am walking this journey with you. It says my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. The word easy there means well-fitted or well-fitting. Which I love, it's translated in the Greek easy as well-fitting. Jesus' yoke is not made to gall you or chafe you, to hurt your neck. It's actually his yoke is made perfectly and uniquely for you to walk right next to Jesus, to give your heart rest. Jesus says, the yoke I give you with me is not made to burden you. It's made to show you and give you everything you need for the journey ahead. Everything that you need to honor God with your life. And doesn't being yoked with Jesus make the heaviest burdens light when you know Jesus is with you? Like whatever burdens you have on the journey, you're equally yoked with Jesus. You're walking with him on the journey. Isn't it true that when Jesus is with you or when you sense Jesus' presence, that even the heaviest burdens seem light because you know Jesus is there? Because all of us yoke ourselves to something to try to find rest. And in the yoke with Jesus, as we walk this journey, we can learn much from Jesus. One of the things I learned about the easy yoke or just yokes in general is that what they would often do is they would take an experienced ox and they would put it in one side and they put an inexperienced ox in the other. Why do they do that? Because you put two inexperienced ones, they literally go opposite directions. They have no idea what they're doing. And when Jesus says, you take my yoke, you are learning for the most experienced, most humble, most kind, most joyful person you will ever learn from as you walk through the journey that you look to him. How do we look to him? Primarily through the scripture, that we look in the scripture and we see how Jesus lived his life, but we also are seeking him through the Holy Spirit in our prayer life, which we'll talk about in a minute. And right next to Jesus, in the easy yoke, we can learn how to rest. And so Jesus says, come to me. If you want rest this morning, if your soul is heavy and you are tired, he says, come to me. He says, take my yoke. And then he says, learn from me. Now Jesus describes what type of person you're actually learning from. Jesus says that he is gentle and lowly. Gentle and lowly. This is one of the only times Jesus peels back the curtain or the layer of his heart to actually show and describe who he is. It's actually the only time you'll find it. In the scripture, he is gentle and lowly. Gentle means meek, humble, the most understanding person in the world, but lowly means accessible. That he is a gentle, humble, accessible God. And isn't it true that you can learn from someone like that? Have you ever had a boss that's the opposite? I have. That's not gentle, that's not understanding, that's not accessible. Have you had parents like that in your life? Have you had relationships like that? They're really difficult to learn from. But Jesus says, learn from me because I'm gentle and lowly. I'm always accessible to you. Isn't that a beautiful thing that we have a God that is always accessible to us? And it should provide us a good bit of rest knowing that Jesus, there's never a moment in our journey that he isn't present and we can rest with him. And so Jesus says to come and to take and to learn. To come and to take and to learn, and then you will find rest. That you come to Jesus. You take his yoke and you learn from him, and you find that true rest cannot be found apart from him. And so, how do we practically rest when we come and take and learn? How has this practically worked out in our life? How does this look? Well, first of all, I think some of us can just slow down our rhythms in life just to know that we're tired. I know when COVID hit and everything stopped, I realized like really how tired I was, and I was able to rest. I don't know if you were like that. Or just in the small moments when I'd be able to, like, the kids are asleep or everything's gone, I just immediately go to sleep. Just slowing down our rhythms. Sometimes it means we got to drive slower. Just do the speed limit. Just slow down. Maybe go 5 under. Just practice a rhythm of driving slower. Maybe you go the long way home. Instead of going the same old way home, maybe you take the long way home to take some time just to pray a little bit. Maybe move your phone away from your bedside and put it on your counter in your kitchen so when it rings or when it lights up, it doesn't wake you up. Maybe you actually take a lunch break. Maybe you take your 30-minute or an hour-long lunch break. And in that hour and 30 minutes, you give that time to the Lord and you pray, or maybe you just sit in silence and stare at a wall. I don't know. But you slow your rhythms. Maybe you remove social media from your phone. That's something I had to do. Cook a meal. That'll slow you down. An actual meal, not a microwave meal. Do a puzzle. Take a nap. Because when we start slowing our rhythms, this gets us in a spirit of disciplining ourselves to resting in Jesus. And more practically, this, as we slow down our rhythms, in those like moments where we're actually taking a lunch break, we stop and we pray for 5 to 10 minutes. One of the things I've gotten into doing is I set an alarm on my old iPhone. I use it for some power. And at 2 o'clock every day, I take 5 minutes just to pray. And it reminds me. It sends an alarm. And it says, John, pray. And I close my eyes, open my palms, sit in my chair, and I pray. And that may be a different time for you, but set an alarm on your phone to remind you. Oh yeah, I need to pray. There's no shame in that. Zero shame. There's also this whole thing that Jesus talks about that he gave us as followers of Jesus, a whole 24-hour period of time to rest called the Sabbath. Now, I know I preached on this about a year and a half ago, but Sabbath is not a reward for hard work. It's a gift that is given to us. Do you remember when God created man? He created on what day? The 6th day. And then on the 7th day, what did he do? He rested. So the very first full day of man's life was what? Resting. So rest, Sabbath rest, is to prepare our hearts for the week to come. And that's opposite than the world, because what does the world say? In order to get rest, what do you got to do? You got to work your tail end off, right? This crazy thing where you have a month, you have to work an entire month to get like a half day vacation. You know, that's what the world says. But what Jesus says, what God says, is like, I actually created you for rest. That when I created you the next day on the 7th, I actually gave you a full day of rest to prepare you for the work ahead. And this is the Sabbath rest that he gives us. Is that on Sundays for most of us, and for me it has to be a different time because Sundays I work. So for me, from Friday at 6 o'clock to Saturday at 6, I do 4 things. I stop, I rest, I delight, and I contemplate. I stop, I rest, delight, and contemplate. I try to do all 4 of those things in that time period. And sometimes it doesn't always work for me because I have kids, you know. That's an excuse. But I do. And I go to 1,000 baseball games or whatever games are going on, soccer and football and all those things. But I can still find delight in that. I can still contemplate when I'm with my son or daughter watching them play. And so there's a thing called Sabbath rest, and if you want more information, I can help you with that. Also, unhurried Bible reading, where you're just reading the Bible, you're slowing down. And then finally, last thing I think is really important is soul care. Some of us can't even get to the idea that we need to come and take and learn from Jesus because we're so wounded in some areas of our life, we don't even know rest is possible for us. That we need counseling and therapy, and I think those are really important. It's something I had to walk through for 2 years. To help me to get to a place of rest. I was so anxious and so depressed and all of those things in a lot of areas because of wounds in my life that I had to go to a counselor to help unwind some of those things. And I'm totally pro-counseling. I think it's a good thing. But I realize that sometimes all of us, it's not going to be something all of us do or we can afford. And that's why the family of God is here. That's why it's so important for us as a family of God to love and to serve each other. That's why you have pastors and elders to help you, guide you into places of rest in your life where maybe you are just struggling. Because apart from Jesus, you can't find it. He's the only one that will satisfy that desire for rest. And it's found in prayer time. It's found in reading His Word. It's found in the family of God. And so I want to end with this scripture as we end here in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, and then 17 through 19. It says, "But we have this treasure of jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." I wonder if you can feel this next verse. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed." And then later, Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day," or day by day. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but is what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." If we would fix our eyes, that are you hard-pressed this morning? Are you struck down? Are you perplexed? Are you persecuted? Are you any of those things? Can you claim that you're not crushed, in despair, abandoned, destroyed? And the only way that we can claim that is because we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, and that is Jesus. He gives us this peace. I have needed this sort of reminder in my life. This sermon is as much for me as for any of you. Because when I get physically tired, my soul wanes. When I get physically tired, I make decisions I don't want to make, or I get angry in places I shouldn't get angry, or relationships are strained. And I don't want to be that sort of person. That's not the sort of person that Jesus called me to. And I try to find rest in other places, but Jesus keeps calling me back, and that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He says, "Come to me." He keeps saying, he never stops pursuing you. He never stops saying, "Come to me to take my yoke. Come to the easy yoke, the easy way, and you'll find rest." I think one of the pictures of rest that's I'm always reminded of is my dog. I have a Weimaraner, and he's basically me in dog form. He's pretty anxious all the time. He has things, like he's like a duck on water. You can tell, like in his eyes, like he's thinking about something. He's always going after everything, and he rarely like sits down. And when he's by himself, you ever heard of dogs having separation anxiety? This dude can break out of any crate. I mean, any crate possible. You give him a crate, you go buy him a crate, the dude somehow gets out. We had to like use a climbing carabiner to like hold the crate shut so he doesn't bust out, you know? Because when we're gone, he is so anxious. He barks and all this. Sometimes he like gets hives and we had to give him steroids, all this. It's crazy. But what I found out about my dog is that as soon as I get home, you know what he does? He just chills because I'm his master. And he knows every single thing that he needs in that moment is right there with him. And you know, I'm just a dog. This is a dog owner to a dog, but Jesus is with us in every moment. And every single thing that you need in your work, in your play, in your places of influence, everything you need, he has for you to rest. Every single thing. So when you get anxious, you're not crated up. You're not closed in to a crate. He's like, "I'm here. Come to me. I'm here, take my yoke. Let me journey with you. And then as we journey together, look to me, and I will show you every step to take. I will show you how to get through your tough circumstance in your relationship. I'll show you how to get through your tough circumstance, whatever that might be." And so my hope for you is that you would see that true rest can be found in Jesus, that it's possible. And I would challenge you maybe this week just to set an alarm on your phone. Maybe that's the first place you start. It could be 2 o'clock, it could be noon, whatever it is, whatever's best for you, to take 5 minutes to actually pray, to slow down, take a deep breath, and just say this: "I'm here, Jesus. I'm here." And listen for his voice. That's Annie back there, not sleeping. So I want you to kind of hang on it. Maybe this scripture is something you carry around this week or the next week just to slow yourself down. Does this sound good? So you can enter into the rest of Jesus. Let's pray together. We're going to sing. And you guys, the altar's always open. Pray however you want to. Whatever, however you want to respond, you can. And I'm glad you guys are here. Love you all. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you offer us rest. And Father, help us, help guide us into that rest, Lord. Father, that in any circumstance, whatever that is, that we can find rest for our souls. That we don't have to look too far, just pausing. Help us to pause and begin rhythms of rest, maybe just slowing down. Maybe that looks like praying with our wives and our husbands before we go to school. Or maybe that looks like praying with a friend over a phone just to help us slow down, whatever that looks like. And Lord, I pray if there are people in this room that just can't even get the idea of coming to you because they have so much going on in their life, that they would reach out to us as pastors and elders and people in the church family to help them get to that place. Because we know this, Lord, that you are a God of peace and not a God of chaos. And so, Lord, I just pray that this morning, as we sing this song, a song that most of us know, that we would really buy into it and we can find rest for our souls. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. You guys can stand as we sing together.